Sustains us or gives us life. You are our very breath, God, today. We want to worship you, Jesus, with everything in us today. God, help our attitudes to be pure. Help our hearts to be ready to receive from you today. Help our ears to be open, God, and that we would understand your word today. God, give us a deeper love for the things in the Bible today as we talk about them. And that we grasp, Lord, what you're trying to teach us. Lord, we want to know more and more about you. And we want to become more and more like you. We thank you, God, that we can be together and we can do those things with friends, God, that love you. We worship you today, Jesus. Hallelujah, God. Amen. Amen. Before we go, I'm not going to ask you anything yet. I want to get a couple kids to share something that maybe God has done for you real recently, a testimony that God has done. Either it's a prayer that he's answered or something that he has done, and I want you to share it. I'm pulling the red mic here. I want you to share it with everybody. Let me see. All right. Aaron, why don't you come here? You have something you want to share this morning? We're giving some testimony. We're praising God through testimonies this morning. Can you share something that God's done for you recently, Aaron?
He gave me a dream that actually came true. It was about a twister, and it was coming towards our neighborhood, and then our whole family started to pray, and the twister turned around and went the other way, and it actually happened.
Amen. God protects us and keeps us safe, doesn't he? All right. Miss Anna, you want to come up and share something with us?
My brother doesn't go to church or anything, and he had gout, and he actually let my mom pray for him over the phone.
Amen. And is God healing him? Amen. So it's even a testimony that he let your mom pray, huh?
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's awesome. God's doing some amazing things. All right, Mr. Jonah had his hand up over here. Come tell us what God has been doing for you recently, Jonah.
The person who takes me to school, he was sick 2 days, and then the third day, he was feeling better.
Did you pray for him? Amen. God answers prayer, and he heals us. All right, I see a couple. All right, Nathan, come here. He has something that he wants to share with us. All right. What has God been doing for you recently?
It was raining. It kept raining, and we wanted to go to Funplex. So I prayed, and the next day God made it so it doesn't rain, and then we went to Funplex.
Amen. I think I remember that. Yes, because we were going to go several days in a row, and it was our last chance, and God did it. You know what? I have a testimony over here that Miss Lily shared with us first service, and I have to tell you, this is an amazing testimony because I just prayed with her just not that long ago about this, and God did something incredible in her family this week. Can you tell the kids what God did at your family?
My mom and dad, they were divorced, and then just yesterday at night, my dad came home. And then woke up my mom and woke up me. I was really happy that my dad was back because I really missed him.
Amen. God is good. We've been praying for her family for quite a while that her mom and dad would get back together. And you know what? God answers prayer, doesn't he, Lily? That's exciting. You know what? I want to take a minute before we go any further. And we are going to thank God for the things he's doing. Because you know what? A lot of you have some of the exact same things at your house. Maybe you're praying for somebody that's sick. Maybe your mom and dad aren't together. And you know what? God hears your prayer. All right? God hears it. He knows what hurts in your heart. He knows what things you're going through. He knows what things your family are going through. And God answers prayer. So we are going to tell him thank you for the things he is doing here that we are praying. All right? Close your eyes one more time. God, we want to tell you thank you for answered prayers. God, I thank you for the people that you have healed that we've been praying for. I thank you that you protect us, God, when we're at home, and you protect our family and our possessions. God, I thank you that you heal us, you protect us, and I thank you that you restore families. Lord, if there are other kids in this place that are going through separations of mom and dad, or maybe a brother or a sister that is not serving you, we just speak over the families that are represented right here. And God, we say we want you to move on the hearts of those that are not serving you right now and bring them back to the place of knowing you as their Lord and Savior and for healing homes. God, we thank you for answered prayer and for bringing the crackies back together. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God is good. And all the time. That's right. God is good all the time. It's exciting when we can share the things that God is doing. All right. Miss Abigail, are you finished? Are you finished putting all of that away for me?
Mm-hmm.
All right. There you are. Yes. She has been downstairs for a little while. What have you been doing, Miss Abigail?
Put my candy away from the Harvest Festival.
Do any of you have candy at your house that you had to put away somewhere? Let me ask. What I had her do, maybe none of you had this problem. Her bag of candy was so huge that I told her she had to bring it into the kitchen and put it away and can only have a piece when, Miss Abigail?
When I ask.
When you ask. Uh-huh. Now, your mom and dad might have done the very exact same thing. If not, let me just remind you. Do not eat too much candy. You can get a cavity and it can hurt your stomach. I'm looking out for you, Miss Abigail, and I wanted to make sure that you're safe. All right? Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not sure. Did anybody in this room, you don't have to yell, raise your hand. Did anybody in this room come to the Harvest Festival this last on Friday? Look at all these kids. Did you see some of them?
Mm-hmm.
You did? Let me ask, who was your favorite character that you saw dressed up at Harvest Festival?
I met Dorothy from the Wizard of Oz.
Dorothy from the Wizard of Oz. Did any of you see her? I saw she had her puppy dog Toto with her. I saw it. You might have gone to that game. Who was your favorite person that you saw, Peter? Do you know? No? Who was your favorite person that you saw? The Lego Man. That's right. Anybody over here? Who was your favorite person, Belle? The jellyfish. That's right. You know what? I loved Dorothy. She was cool.
Uh-huh.
But the coolest thing about it is she had the Tin Man, the Lion, and the Scarecrow. Did you see them too? Weren't those costumes cool? It was so much fun getting together with all of you and all of the parents and celebrating all the things that God blesses us with. Harvest is a time when you go into the fields and you bring in all the crops and God provides everything that sustains our life or that keeps us healthy. He provides for our needs. And it was a huge celebration of enjoying what God does for us. And I'm glad you did that. Did you bring anybody with you?
Yep.
Who did you bring?
Well, I brought a couple of girls from my school.
Oh, yeah?
And we had a blast.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Did you show them around and everything?
Uh-huh, because they had never been there before.
Oh, great. Well, I'm glad you were here to show them what was going on. What else?
Well, there was a guy from my math class.
There was. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Did you show him everything, too, and have fun with him?
No way. I didn't want my friends to see me talking to him.
What? Abigail, why wouldn't you want your friends seeing you talk to him? Was he from your school, too?
Well, yeah.
Okay.
But he didn't have a costume. Mm-mm.
Okay.
And his hair was as black as can be and very curly.
Curly?
Mm-hmm.
Is curly hair a problem?
You
have curly hair.
Oh.
Pretty curly hair. So you mean to tell me you didn't talk to this kid because of the way he looked?
Well, he also doesn't like to play any of the games at recess.
Oh, so
he just sits and works on writing things or reading books.
Abigail, Abigail, Abigail.
What?
You know, that's actually really sad, and I'm kind of disappointed that you started judging somebody based on the way that they look on the outside and that kind of thing, instead of thinking about, do you know anything about who he is? Have you ever talked to him and known what kind of things maybe he likes or what he's like on the inside?
No.
Oh, well, can I tell you that today's Bible story that we're talking about is exactly the same thing that you're going through, only it's one of God's prophets did the same thing that you did. He looked at people on what he saw on the outside instead of looking at what was on the inside. Yes, and today God, on our Bible story, God is teaching us that what is on the inside counts. What is on the outside is not what we should judge people about. Yes.
But that can be hard sometimes.
I mean,
other people may think bad about me just because I'm hanging around with him.
Yeah, well, the important thing is to know that the same thing should be important to us that is important to God. What's on the inside is what counts.
You're right. I don't know why I even started thinking that way.
Well, good. You know what? Maybe you should take notes today about all that we're going through, and it would help you learn to look at people's inside before you look at their outside. Now, this morning, I was telling Abigail that we are talking about somebody in the Bible that was looking at somebody on the outside instead of on the inside and made a judgment about this person by what they looked like. All right? And the man who did it, his name was Samuel. Can you say Samuel? Now, I have to tell you a little bit about Samuel, okay? Who's talking? Samuel was a prophet, all right? And Samuel's job as a prophet was to listen to God and let the people of Israel know what God was telling them. And there had been a king in the Israelites, and this king, his name was King Saul. He did something that was very, very wrong and disobeyed God, and God knew that Israel needed a new king. So God told Samuel, I'm going to show you who the new king of Israel is going to be. And he told Samuel, you need to go and travel to a place called Bethlehem. Have any of you ever heard of that town before? Bethlehem. Why, Miss in the striped shirt, where have you heard the name of that town, Bethlehem, before? Jesus was born there. That's very interesting. Well, you know what? God sent Samuel to Bethlehem to find a new king for Israel. And I have to tell you that this new king was also born in Bethlehem. Bethlehem. All right. Now, Samuel went there, and he knew that Saul, the old king, King Saul, was still alive. And King Saul was still the king. But God told Samuel that there was going to be a new king. And Samuel had to think about, how is Saul going to feel when I go make somebody else king? What do you think Saul's going to do? In fact, kill him is a very good idea. That's exactly what Saul was going to want to do. So Samuel had to be very quiet, but he had to make this trip to Bethlehem without King Saul knowing what was going on. So he went to Bethlehem, and he was going to go to the temple and offer a sacrifice to God and pray to God. And so it looked like he was just going on a normal trip. All right? So Samuel got ready, and he knew he had to go to Bethlehem, and God told him when he gets there, look for a man named Jesse, because one of Jesse's sons is going to be the new king, all right? And I want you to put up PowerPoint 1. If you have your Bible with you this morning, open it up to 1 Samuel chapter 16, all right? And Samuel is in the Old Testament. Listen to this. It goes Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 Samuel, all right? So it's the 9th book in your Bible. Open up your Bible to the 9th book, 1 Samuel, chapter 16, And we're going to start at the very beginning of the chapter. All right? The very beginning. Shh. None of you need to be talking. It is the boys. Minus one for the boys. All right. Now listen. Look up here if you don't have a Bible, and I will read it to you. Verse 1. It says, "The Lord said to Samuel, 'How long are you going to mourn for Saul?'" See, Samuel is the one who anointed Saul king, and he was very sad that Saul had disobeyed God. "How long are you going to mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil." That means get ready to go anoint. They took oil and they would pour it over the head of the new king. So God told him, "Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I'm sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king." All right? Now, after Saul found out that God was going to anoint somebody else as king, Saul was actually very upset. And he actually wanted to look for who this new king was going to be. He did not want somebody to replace him, and he did not ask God to forgive him once he realized he was disobedient. So God had to take him away as king, and Saul was very upset. Can you put up number 2? And in number 2, verse 5, it said, Samuel went there, all right? And he went to Bethlehem, and he said, "Yes, in peace I have come to sacrifice to the Lord." So he went there to sacrifice something to God at the altar, so that it didn't look like he was doing something that would make King Saul upset. And he said to Jesse and the people there, "Consecrate yourselves and come to the sacrifice with me." And then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to come to the sacrifice. Does anybody in this room have any idea what the word consecrate even means? Does anybody know what the word consecrate means? All right, Ladami, what does the word consecrate mean? Purify yourself. How in the world do you purify yourself? Anna, how do you purify yourself? Did you hear what she said? By asking God to forgive your sins. It's really that simple, isn't it? They had to purify themselves so that they could come and stand before God. You know what? This kind of reminds me of today. Did anybody, before they came to church this morning, think to yourselves, "You know what? I'm going to church to meet God, so I need to make sure that my heart is in the right place. Let me just make sure that my heart is pure." Did any of you think of that this morning? A couple of you did. Did you know what? That is actually a very, very important thing to do. Because when we come to God's house, if our heart is filled up with all kinds of stuff and we're very dirty on the inside, it is hard for us to hear what God is teaching us. When our hearts are pure, we ask God to forgive us, we can hear God talking to us. And you know what? There are a lot of times that we come to church and God softens our hearts and we hear his word. There are people that come to church who have never even heard about Jesus before, and this is the perfect place for them to be. But there are some of us who know God, and you know what? When we want to get the most out of being with God, we have to ask him to consecrate our hearts or to purify our hearts so that we can hear what he's teaching us. And Samuel knew that Jesse and his sons needed to be ready to hear what God was saying. So he asked them to purify themselves. So they did that, and they got ready, and they came, and they got in front of God. And they got there, and Jesse brought his sons, and Samuel said, "All right, show me your sons. Can you show me slide 3? Slide 3 says, "When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab, who is the oldest son of Jesse," all right? And he saw Eliab, and the first thing he did when he saw Eliab is, "Surely the Lord's anointing stands here before, the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord." Do you know why he thought that? Eliab was tall and handsome. He looked like a king. And the minute Samuel saw him, he said, you know what? This man definitely looks like he is going to be the new king. Surely it's the oldest son. See, in the Bible, the oldest son was the most important person in the family because he was going to get the farm. He was going to get the money. He was going to be the ruler when mom and dad were gone. And he was the in charge one. So Samuel thought, you know what? He said it was one of Jesse's sons, so it must be Eliab. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height. In other words, don't look at how handsome he is or how tall he is. The Lord said, I have rejected him. Because the Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance or the outside, but the Lord looks at the heart. And that's what we are talking about today. You see, a lot of times we look at people by what they look like on the outside, don't we? We don't think about the inside. And God says he does not look at you and me or anybody else by how long our hair is or how pretty we are or if we're a cool basketball player or football player or really strong. God is looking at your heart. And that is what matters. All right. How many of you have thought about the condition of your heart? Is our heart pure just because we are born here into the world? No, it isn't. In fact, I have to tell you something. Every one of us are born exactly the same way, the Bible says. And I have something here that will show you exactly what I'm talking about. You see, when we are born, we imagine that because we're born a small young baby, that we're born really nice and clean and pure like this glass of water. Because we're born in the world. Has a baby done anything wrong once it's born? It hasn't done anything wrong. But you know what the Bible says? The Bible says that the minute you're born, see, the world is full of sin. So even if you haven't done something wrong, the minute you're born, you have sin in your life. And you look just like sin, don't you? Do either one of these look really clean and pure? No, they don't. Nobody would like a drink. Trust me, this would not be good to drink. We're born like this. And you know what? Sin is disobedience to God, and it has a punishment. Have any of you ever been punished before for doing something wrong? I have. I remember as a kid, there were things I did wrong and I got in a lot of trouble. And if I did something just a little wrong, sometimes the punishment wasn't too big, but sometimes when I did something really wrong, the punishment was really big. Well, you know what? The Bible says that the punishment for sin, everybody that has sin in their heart is punished to die. Sin's punishment is death. But wait a minute, didn't I just say that every single person that's ever born has sin in their life? So you know what that means? That means that every single person that is ever born has sin and they're punished to die if they have sin in their life. How do I clean the sin inside the glass? It has to have something in it. It has to be cleaned. It has to go away. And if the punishment is death, that means that this has to die. But once it's dead, it's not there anymore. So that is a very big problem. And you know what? God loved every single person when they were born. And he said, you know what? They're filled with sin the minute that they're born. But I want them to be with me, but they can't come to heaven if they have sin in them. So you know what? He did something for every single one of us. He sent Jesus Christ, who was his only son. And he said, I know that they have to be punished, but you know what? Jesus has no sin. Look at this. Jesus, no matter if sin gets in contact with it or not, is completely pure every time. But he knew that we couldn't do that. And so he sent Jesus Christ here to the earth perfectly clean, no matter if sin came in contact with him or not. Jesus never sinned. He was always clean. And he said, somebody has to die. He did not want it to be you and me. So Jesus Christ died on the cross. All right? He died on the cross for you and me. And when he did that, he went to you and I and he said, if you simply ask me, I've already paid the punishment for you and I can make you clean. So when you and I look at our hearts and we know that there's sin in our heart, we simply pray and we say, God, I recognize that I've sinned and I've done things that are wrong. Would you please forgive me? You've already paid the price and I want you to come inside of me. And when he comes inside of us, this is what he does to our sin. He totally cleans it and washes it white as snow. Perfectly clean, isn't it? No matter how much sin, God can clean it. But not only did he die, he did something else. He rose again. And that means that he conquered sin. And he took all of the sin of the whole world and he conquered it. And he rose again on the third day. And all sin can be perfectly taken care of by simply asking. And look at this. Look what he does to all sin. He cleans all sin completely pure again, doesn't he? See, Jesus Christ looks at our hearts. And until Jesus comes in and we ask him to forgive us, every one of us look like that jar that I showed you the first time. It's dark and it's ugly. But when we ask Jesus, he comes in and he cleans our heart and he washes it pure like all of these glasses now and washes it away. See, when Samuel saw all the men, he looked at the outside. But God looked at all of Jesse's sons and there were seven of them that came and walked in front of Samuel. And everyone walked there and God said, not that one. I've seen the inside of their heart. They are not who I want. And then he would bring the next son. He said, nope, nope, not that one. And he went through all seven sons. And Samuel stood there and said, Jesse, I know that God told me that one of your sons was going to be the next king of Israel. But all seven of your sons, God says that their hearts aren't right. They're not obedient. They're not faithful to me. I don't want any of them. Do you have any more sons? And you know what Jesse said? He said, well, actually, I do have one more son, but he's just a boy. He's just a young little boy. And you know what? He's a shepherd. All he does is sit out with the sheep. He's not around. I don't trust him with my money. I don't have him running my business. I have him out with the sheep. You know, I'll send somebody to go get him, but he's just a young boy. He's not tall and handsome like all my other sons, but you know what? Go get him. And so a servant went out and he went and they got David, Jesse's youngest son. And they brought young David out from taking care of the sheep. And he walked over to where they were having the sacrifice. And the minute that Samuel saw David, God said, that's the one. His heart is pure. See, the Bible says that when David was out taking care of the sheep, you know what he would spend his time doing? Worshiping God. He wasn't in a big setting like you and I trying to sing our loudest. He was sitting down all by himself and the sheep. And he said, you know what? I love God so much. I'm just going to sing and worship him because I know that Jesus can hear me. Nobody else, just Jesus. And he would spend time worshiping God and praying and being obedient. And God saw that David's heart was pure. And he said, that is who I want as king of Israel. See, I can trust somebody who's faithful, who's obedient, and has a pure heart. And God chose David. David also knew something else very, very important. He knew that who his friends were would affect his pure heart. And he chose friends who would be faithful to God as well. He didn't go hang out with people like King Saul who were not being obedient to God. He hung out with people like his son, Jonathan, who was an awesome man who also loved God, who loved God. He hung out with people who loved God. He looked at people on the inside also just like Jesus did, just like God did. All right? And I have a short little video that I want to show you about Samuel looking at all of Jesse's sons and recognizing that God looks at the heart. Watch this.
Not exactly theater. Hello, friends, and welcome to Not Exactly Theater. I am Sir Reginald Doofus, Esquire the Third. The GH is silent. Well, anyway, today we have a story from the Bible about a boy. A boy named David. A little boy that no one paid much attention to. And why? I ask you why? Because he's just a boy. And everyone knows how crazy and stinky little boys are. Roll it, Percy!
Out in a field, there was a boy. A forgotten boy. His seven brothers didn't care or think about him much. Since he was the youngest, he was assigned the simplest of tasks. To watch the sheep.
A little help here. Hello?
In the city, a man had arrived. A priest, a prophet, a God-directed man. His name was Samuel. People usually freaked out when Samuel showed up.
Oh, man, I'm freaking out!
But Samuel wasn't there with a warning. God had told him to go to Bethlehem to find a man named Jesse.
He's over there!
Oh, snap, Jesse gonna get worm.
One of Jesse's sons would be chosen as the next king. Actually, there was an eighth son, but he was too young. Just a boy. And besides, he was out watching the sheep.
Hey, the phrase is lamb technician slash mammal supervisor.
Anyway, back to the important stuff. Who would be the next king? Jesse showed Samuel his oldest son, who was tall, strong, and he had a royal look about him. God told Samuel,
"Yes, he looks like a king, but I'm not concerned with what a person looks like on the outside. I care more about a person's heart, what they think and feel on the inside. This is not the king."
Samuel looked at all seven sons, but God said no to them all. Samuel asked if there were any more sons, and Jesse said,
"There's one more, but he's out supervising sheep slash mammals.
Go and get him immediately."
The boy walked up, his shepherd's staff in hand. The boy brushed his hair to the side, and he looked Samuel in the eyes. The boy loved God and was willing to do whatever he asked, no matter how great the task.
"This is the one I have chosen. He has a willing heart. This is the king."
There, in front of his father and seven brothers, Samuel anointed him as the next king. The boy's name was David. The Bible remembers him as a man after God's own heart.
Oh, he was just a boy. Oh, thank you. And a king! You see, my little life's in training. It's easy to feel small when you are, well, small. But God does not look at the size of your person. No, he looks at the size of your heart. How much you love him. Well, that's all we have for you today for Not Exactly Theater. I am Sir Reginald Doofus. And remember, don't put anything in your ear except your elbow. Good night!
All right.
Not Exactly Theater.
So sometimes we think that God wants us to only use people that seem important. And David was not even included when they called all the brothers in to Samuel, because it seems like his family didn't even think that David was an important part of the family. But God did not see David that way. God saw David as important no matter what he looked like, because God looked at David's heart. All right? I have something here that I need a couple people to help me with. And I'm just going to set them out here. What is it? No, not that one. Nice. Okay. Ah. Got a couple things here. Got a couple really cool gifts that I've got pulled out here. All right. And I need to see, maybe a boy and a girl could come out here and help me with something. And I need somebody that was not here first service, all right? Was not here first service. The young girl in the heart sweater right there. You weren't here first service, were you? Now come on up here, and I need a boy that was not here first service. I'm going to take the guy in the plaid that was a visitor right there. Yeah, you. Come on up here. Come up here. I want you to help me. You know what? Both of you. Okay, what is your name? Your name is?
Miracle.
Miracle, and what is your name? It's upside down.
Aiden.
Miracle and Aiden. I would like you to come over here, and you can pick a gift. I'm going to give you a gift this morning. Pick one that you would like. You're going to pick that one? All right. I still have two gifts here. You know what? I think I'm going to let somebody else pick one. I'm going to take the girl in the pink zebra sweater there. Come on up here. You can grab one too. And I'm going to take the young man in the blue in the middle. Were you here for service? Come on up here. Now, you know what? There's the only thing that's left is this little piece of newspaper here. Here you go. Sorry, it's not real pretty or anything, but I'm going to give you this, all right? You know what? Why don't you go ahead and open your gift? I have a gift for all of you. You can open your gift and see what I got for you this morning. Ah, double stuffed Oreo cookie. Do you like Oreo cookies? You do. Is that what you expected to find in that bag? You weren't really sure? Was it the prettiest bag that was up there? No, it wasn't the prettiest bag that was up there. It was just a wrapped up piece of... Oh, look at the piece of newspaper trash turned out to be Fun Dip. Do you like Fun Dip? All right, Ty, I'm glad. Now, these guys picked some really pretty presents. Those presents were pretty with big bows, weren't they? All right, let's see what you got in this beautiful polka-dotted one here with the big green ribbon. What's inside of that one? Probably something really cool, isn't it? Why don't you open it up in the box and see... Oh, wait, she opened hers here. Oh, wow, this big, huge box with this pretty ribbon was an empty soda bottle. Is that what you were hoping to get when you picked the big, huge present? No? Why did you... Where's my mic here? She's open. A hot jalapeno pepper. Is that what you thought you'd get when you opened up the big, huge, beautiful box? Do you like your pretty presents now? Not too much at all, huh? Your pretty presents turned out to be kind of flop presents. But the two boys that picked out the junky gifts that were up there both got something pretty cool, didn't you? All right. Well, you know what? Thank you very much. You know what? Yeah, I'll take your wrapping paper here. Girls, do you want to keep the hot jalapeno pepper? You don't even want to keep... Do you really want an empty soda bottle? Not really? You know what? All four of you... How about this? All four of you can pick something off my grill real quick. You go ahead and grab something. You open up the grill and you can all grab something off the grill. You know what? No, you cannot have my bottle. Okay, grab something off the grill there and then you can go have a seat. All right, hurry, pick something and go sit down. All right, there you go. Oh, just one, there you go. All right, go have a seat. Does that look like a good gift? Did you get something? All right, have a seat. Now, did you notice that the first things that somebody really wanted were the really big, pretty boxes? If you would come up here and you'd saw a crunched up piece of newspaper, how many of you would have picked the pretty box first? Probably most of you. Hey, because we look at things by the outside appearance, just like in our story today. See, that's trying to teach us what God is trying to teach us. When we see someone, just like Miss Abigail was talking about early, about the young boy from her school that doesn't always dress the best, and he doesn't always play the games, and sometimes he's reading books instead. We judge people by what we see on the outside. But God is telling us this. He wants us to get to know people on the inside because it's what's inside that counts and matters to God. When our hearts are right with God and when we're obedient and we're faithful and Jesus is inside of us and washed the sin away, God knows that that's who he can trust. And he can put those people in charge of big things like little David, who is going to be the first or the second king of Israel, not because of what he looked like on the outside, but because the inside was clean and pure and Jesus was inside. God could choose David. And you know what? God has a big plan for a lot of you too. And he's watching you and he's saying, look inside and consecrate yourself or confess your sins and purify the inside. Ask Jesus to come in just like our jar and clean up all of the sin that's on the inside. And then you look like this glass right here. Jesus cleans it all away and makes your heart pure or consecrated to God. All right? I know that we have some visitors here, and I know that all of us need to take a moment, just like Samuel told Jesse, to look at your heart. And I would like you to close your eyes and bow your heads, because we're going to take a moment just like Samuel and Jesse needed to do. Shh. God wants us to look at our hearts and to make sure that the inside is ready for God to be able to use us just like he could little David. And I want you to take a moment and to think about your heart and think about if your heart has sin in it or if you've already asked Jesus to come and wash it. We need to have Jesus come and pour into our heart and wash all the sin away. And if your heart is not in that condition, I want to take this moment right now and we are going to ask God to purify our hearts, all right? If you need to pray that prayer because you know that there's something inside that needs to be washed away, I want you to repeat after me right now, okay? And say, dear Jesus, I want you to come inside of me and wash my sin away. I want to be obedient to you. I want to be faithful to you. And I know that you paid the price for my sins. And I ask you to wash them away. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you know that the Bible says, the Bible says the minute that you pray that and you want God to come inside, he does exactly like this little object lesson that I had right here. Jesus comes in and he changes all of that sin immediately and makes it pure. That's what we just did. And if it was the first time that you've ever prayed that before, I want you to tell one of the coaches on the way out, all right? I want you to tell somebody that Jesus came and washed your sins away, because that's testifying or giving your story of what Jesus has done for you. Now listen, before we go...